Welcome. We'll try to speak a bit about this Lila, and also there's some. I like controversy also, so I like the controversy which started this morning. So I would like to add some points to this. Maybe this is interesting. Maybe. Okay. So. Maybe I'll speak a bit about this Damodar Lila, and then we can go to this verse from Bhagavad Gita, and you'll see why I chose this verse. So we spoke many things about this Damodar Lila, and I will try not to repeat whatever was told before. I'll just try to add some things, maybe. So, the important thing is that Vrindavan is the land of pure love. So, in Vrindavan, and it's this pure love is free from awe and reverence. In Vrindavan, nobody cares that Krishna is God. Because, and you would might say, what's this? Why? Because also the great demons don't care that Krishna is God. So what's the difference? The difference is that everyone loves Krishna. So they just love him. They are not so interested that he's God or he's not God. And this Damodar Lila is actually one of the explanations I heard is that this is the antidote to before this Lila, Krishna showed Mother Yashoda the universal form. So this was done in a way to raise her love for him, because Krishna is only interested in loving exchanges with his devotees. So so Krishna showed Mother Yashoda this universal form, and the result was not the one that Krishna desired. Because after seeing the universal form, the relationship between Mother Yashoda and Krishna was a bit more distant, you know. When you have to do with God, you know it's God Almighty, then you're a bit cautious. You know, you cannot pull the leg of God. You know, you cannot chastise God because he's God. So you should have an attitude of reverence. So So Krishna saw, okay, this is not what I wanted. I just wanted to increase these loving exchanges with Mother Yashoda. So then he puts this Damodar Lila. Why? Because then Mother Yashoda will be convinced, oh, I can tie him, I can catch him, so how can he be God? So this is very... So this is one of the reasons for this Lila, that Mother Yashoda should be convinced that Krishna is not God. This sounds a bit paradoxical, you know, because all the Bhagavad Gita is showing that, okay, Krishna is God and you have to surrender to God. And in the highest form, in the purest form of relationships, Krishna is trying to convince the pure devotee that he is not God. So how can we understand this? We can understand this by understanding maybe mundane example. So you can have a king, you know. He's the king. And everyone knows he's the king. So when he goes to in the assembly, he has some sort of relationships. But what sorts of relationships are these? They are, everyone knows he's the king, so they are a bit formal. you know, you don't you don't pull the leg of a king, you know, don't make jokes on the king, you don't no, it's a bit distant. There are some relationship, there is respect, of course, but there's some distance. But if the same king is going home, he has a wife and some children, and his wife and children, they don't really care he's the king. They have, I mean, we're speaking ideally, not they don't care so much that he's the king. He's John. He has a wife, and his wife, he has some loving exchanges with his wife. He has some children. And these children, maybe they are respectful, but they are not so reverent to, because he's the king. They don't care so much that he's the king. And maybe he has some friends where he plays football. Nowadays, people play football. So when they play football, the king is no longer the king. Nobody cares that he is the king. If he's a bad football player, he will sit in the goal. He will be the goalkeeper. No? So that's the nature of intimate relationships. This is a simple example where we can understand that being the king is not the best position. I mean, not at least not from this relationship. And the king is also very happy that he has this loving exchange, that very intimate loving exchanges with people who just love him. They are my friends. They don't care that I'm the king. They just like me. They are my friends. They love me. They are my friends. They are my wife. So, yeah, that's all. So this is one way we can understand this Damodara Lila, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also he in Goloka Vrindavan he has very intimate exchanges with his devotees. But what we should also understand is because this Damodara Ashtaka, how does it start? With Namami Ishvaram. I offer obeisances. So we should understand that we are not Mother Yashoda. We cannot imitate the behavior of Mother Yashoda. If we would imitate the behavior of Mother Yashoda, we would not be devotees, maybe. It's and you can see sometimes I met at some point one devotee had this idea that she will chastise Krishna if he doesn't behave. So, nah. This is not something we should do. Yeah, she's no longer a devotee anymore. So, this is the idea that we should understand this Lila from this perspective. Yes, Mother Yashoda has these very intimate relationships with Krishna, and there are very advanced devotees who have these intimate relationships with Krishna. But we shouldn't think, okay, now I will imitate the behavior of Mother Yashoda. Yeah, it's yeah. We should be aware a bit where we are. And we might think, why are these intimate relationships described? So they are described to inspire us. So to inspire us that, oh, Krishna is such a nice person. I want to have a relationship with Krishna. Look how nice he treats his devotees. So I also want to have this relationship with Krishna. But of course, for us, this what this means is in our current state, it means that we chant Hare Krishna. And we try to purify. And then, after some time, we will get to that stage, maybe, that we will be accepted in Goloka Vrindavan. So what is important for us is that we have to qualify for being in Goloka Vrindavan. And we do this by chanting Hare Krishna. So there's some nice topics. Like we usually say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Oh, yeah, it's easy process. But, you know, like when you have an offer, a special offer, there are also some conditions. up there they have special offer. And down they have, okay, but actually it's only valid for a few months. And actually this price is only valid here and not there. And if you stay a bit outside Ljubljana, then the offer is no longer valid. And so on, you know, something like this. So this doesn't mean that it's not a super offer, but still there are some conditions. And we should know these conditions. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj said in one class that if you think Krishna consciousness is easy, then probably you came a few weeks ago to Krishna consciousness. Everyone who has been more than a few weeks knows that yes, this is the fastest process. I mean, you can imagine the alternative. You read the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita and see how you can get self-realized by the yoga process. And Arjuna says, no way, this is impossible. So compared to that, it's a walk in a park. But it's not so easy. And one of the conditions is that we are expected to chant Hare Krishna without offenses. There's a somehow famous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, who says, Bahu janma kareyadi shravana kirtana tabutana paya Krishna padat premadana. So it says that if you can chant Hare Krishna for many lives, but if you chant Hare Krishna with offenses, you will not obtain Krishna prema. So that's that's the conditions. So we have to, it's good to know this and to chant Hare Krishna without offenses. So I will link this a bit with our controversy this morning. Yeah, I like controversy, as I said. Why not? You know? And there was a very nice question about because the purport of Srila Prabhupada was about moon, and that the moon is further away from the sun than the sun. So you would think, why would Srila Prabhupada comment on these kind of things? I met once someone on the street, and he was saying, his idea was that, okay, we are spiritual people, and this science, we don't go there, you know. We just don't go there. We just do our thing, do our spiritual stuff. And then this science, yeah, it's now none of our business. And in a way, it is our business. Of course, it's not so much, maybe for us, it's not so important how far the moon and the sun are. But there's one reason why this is very important is we have to have faith in the Shastra. And one thing Srila Prabhupada did very early was he was attacking evolutionism. Why? Why did Srila Prabhupada say, do this? Because he, we know Srila Prabhupada Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. He's come to fight Nirvishesha and Shunyavadi. So this, evolutionism is Shunyavadi. Is nihilism. Okay, there is no need for God. So it's atheism, actually. So, there's a famous quote from Richard Dawson. You heard of Richard Dawson? Dawkins, maybe. Okay, yeah, I think Dawkins. Yeah. Dawkins, okay. So he said something very consequential. He said that Darwin made it very easy for an atheist to be a philosophically fulfilled person. Because before Darwin, if you would be an atheist, you would be not treated very seriously. Because, yeah, you're an atheist. Why you're an atheist? Oh, because I don't like God. I don't know. You wouldn't have a serious, you know, reason to be an atheist. You wouldn't have a philosophical reason. But after Darwin, so this is, after Darwin, yeah, you can say, oh, I'm an atheist because this and this, and we realize that the species are coming like this, and you know, you can. So Srila Prabhupada, he attacked very early these theories, because and at that time no one was really questioning this evolutionism, probably. And Srila Prabhupada did this on one account. He said, "Life comes from life. We have Bhagavad Gita." We are Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says we are spirit soul. Spirit and matter don't mix. You cannot make spirit out of matter. So this is very, very simple way to understand this. But Srila Prabhupada was very fixed. He said, okay, this doesn't match with the Shastra, so it's wrong. Because the idea is there is three ways of acquiring knowledge. One of these is pratyaksha. Pratyaksha is by the senses. We see some things. Yeah. And the second is anuman. Anuman means we use our intelligence and we think something. Most of the times we see something and we think something. And third method is called shabda. Shabda means we receive information from someone who knows, from Krishna eventually, and his representatives. So, pratyaksha and anuman, they are imperfect. Because we have imperfect senses, and our intelligence is not so perfect either. So, we have to keep this into account. It doesn't mean that we don't use pratyaksha and anuman, but we have to remember what the limits of this are. And shabda is perfect. Shabda, because it's coming from perfect person, shabda means perfect. If it's written in the scriptures, then it must be like that. So that's how Srila Prabhupada was thinking. She was thinking, okay, they cannot make life out of matter. So he was always calling out to these scientists, okay, prove it. You have some proof? And a few years ago I was in a lecture given by His Holiness Bir Krishna Maharaj, I think, in Serbia. And it was first time when I saw some information about the evolutionary theory. Because you would think, you would grow in this society, you would think, well, this is definitely, this is science, science is science. Yes, it's science. It's clear stuff, sure things, you know. And then I saw in this presentation that this science is not scientific. not scientific means that science should mean, okay, I have a theory and I have some results, some data, and this data is confirming the theory. Yeah. It's a simple way of seeing science. So, I saw in this presentation, and then I read some books also, and yeah, I will just scratch the surface on this point. And the idea, you will find there are so many flaws in this evolutionary theory. It's so weak, you know. It's not scientific. So I'll just give some examples. Darwin was thinking, because at that point they didn't have so much technology. The microscopes they could have, they weren't very professional. They weren't like the ones today. So he was thinking, first the idea was, okay, the cell is something very simple. It's like a blob, like some gelatin, you know? And we can easily assume that somehow it came out. Somehow first cell was produced. So after some time, now they are looking more into the cell, and they see, wow, that's not simple stuff. maybe at some point someone will bring some photos and some videos. It's really machines, very complicated machines inside the cell. Really, really. And the complexity of a cell is more than the complexity of New York City. So you should think like this. So to assume that, oh, this has come out of nothing. No, not really. it's a big assumption. Because Darwin was thinking, oh, it's just some gelatin, it has come somehow. No problem. But this is really very, very intelligent things, very intelligent mechanism, very, very intelligent things which are put in the cell. So you cannot say, oh, somehow it come out by chance. No, it's obviously it's too intelligent. There were other thing they were basing their theory was mutation. That so they were somehow they saw that if you control somehow the population of certain species, you can achieve some results. For example, you can have a bit bigger dogs. Yeah, you somehow control. I'm not a scientist, but you can have bigger dogs. But after some time, they said, okay, if you have bigger dogs, after some time you will have, you know, a tiger, by some chance. But after they saw that, okay, you can do some things, but you have the certain limits that are hard coded. So from dogs you can make bigger dogs until this size and smaller dogs until this size. But that's it. You cannot make a tiger. That is the conclusion. And also some vegetables similarly, you know. You can see, okay, you can make put more sugar in or less, but there's some limits. After these limits, you'll see you cannot do more than that. So there's some intelligence already there, and there's some limits. You cannot make a dog into a tiger. Never. There's no proof. No proof. Never ever has anyone done it. Yeah. Yeah, intermediate species. There's none. Because you will think the theory is that, okay, there is some mutations and then whatever was best survived for the next generations. So if you see a dog, you should see a half dog, a half tiger, then a half then a tiger and so on, you know, like then a half tiger, half lion. things like this. If it's evolution, you should find in the fossils. You know, like they excavate the whole world. None. The only conclusion they reach is that the species look exactly as the way they were coming. They were looking like this, and after a million years when they disappeared, they were looking still like this. No changes in the species. Yes, many more. Now they are also discovering, Drutakarma Prabhu has also discovered many skeletons. But he has discovered many, what's interesting, that he has discovered human skeletons from millions of years ago. And this evolution is, they are always adapting, because some they accept, but some really they cannot accept because it doesn't fit the theory. And because the initial theory was that Homo sapiens appeared like 10,000, few 50,000, 100,000 years ago. I don't know what's the data. But then Drutakarma Prabhu is showing, okay, look, but this skeleton, human skeleton, human, not Homo sapiens, human, like us, he's from 2 million years ago. How does this fit your theory? Well, it's not real, you know, this kind of idea. So, yeah, I'm just scratching the surface on this. You can search a bit on this topic. I was really shocked because I was thinking, "Wow, this, it might be science," but no, nothing to do. So this is important for us because once we accept these conclusions, then our faith is decreasing, you know. And spiritual life is starting with Shraddha, which Shraddha means faith. So if you don't have faith in Shastra, it will be very, very difficult to make some progress. Because we will think, okay, this data in the Shastra is wrong, this data in the Shastra is wrong. And then when Krishna says, abandon all religions and surrender unto me, you will say, well, he was wrong here, he was wrong here. So, I'm not so convinced. So we will not be really surrendered. We will always think, okay, some of Krishna, some of other things. Yeah, some of Maya. there was a statement from the Pope, maybe 10 years ago, something like this. And he said something like, evolution is how God created the world. And for me, this was really... I thought this was not the way what the Christian leader should say, you know. Because they have their own version of how the world is created. So if it doesn't match the science... They should go out and say, your science is wrong. Because Shabda is, if it's Shabda, there's another controversy there, if it's Shabda or not. But, so this is the idea. We should have real faith in Shabda and act according to Shabda. I met yesterday some Christian guys. And they were Christian, but then they said, okay, wine also is from God. And wine. If God gave this wine, it's good. It's all good. And he also gave these animals so we have something to eat. Why not? So then he was thinking, okay, then I will say, at the time of death, I will say, okay, I believe in Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. So this kind of religion is not very advanced. And I don't know where he's going, but I'm sure not in the spiritual world. So we should not go in that direction. We should have faith in the Shastra. And this verse, which I chose, which I will not read anymore, it's very interesting because in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada says, where is it? He quotes this verse and he says, how Arjuna accepted this Bhagavad Gita should be noted. His manner of accepting of acceptance is given in the 10th chapter. Arjuna said, there's two verses before also. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasa confirm this truth about you, and now you yourself are declaring it to me. And then this verse which says, O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the and then it continues. All. That's the important thing. Arjuna accepts everything in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna doesn't accept, oh, chapter 1 is nice. Chapter 2, it's also nice. Chapter 3, yeah, it's good. Chapter 4, I don't know. Oh. Shabda means Shabda. So if we are really convinced that Shabda, that this is Shabda, we should stick by... So that's why sometimes Srila Prabhupada makes this kind of statements. That according to Shabda, the moon is further than the sun. Is it important how far the moon is? Is it? Maybe not so much. You can chant Hare Krishna also if you don't know how far is the moon. But the consequence is that we should know that whatever Shabda, whatever Bhagavatam is saying is perfect. So that's really why Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing this point, why he's attacking evolutionism and so on. Because he tries to build Shabda, Shraddha, faith in us, so that we can follow really the process. And if we follow the process, then we can go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, yeah. Okay, I don't know if it made any sense. I'll stop here. If there are some questions, comments.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a very interesting class with many controversial points. Thank you for reminding us of the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books. But my question to you is, how can we increase our faith in the Shastra when we're surrounded by all this media blasts of all the things that are going on that are contrary many times to what is said in the Shastra?
How can we? So, faith, there's easy way. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, faith comes by association with the devotees. He says that there's two sources of faith. There's native faith, and there's faith which comes from association with devotees, by preaching, by someone's preaching. And it's also understood that the... native faith means that there were some association with the devotees in past lives. So there is no, the source for faith is association with the devotees. Of course, Shastra Srila Prabhupada is also a devotee and he's in his books. And we can increase our faith by associating with him. Now, one of the... Lord Chaitanya says one of the symptoms of devotees is asat sangha tyaga e Vaishnava acharya, achara. So he doesn't have too much association of non-devotees, because if you have wrong association, like you have association of the devotees, you have you're starting to become like a devotee. If you have association of non-devotees, you're starting to become a non-devotee. So we should avoid as much as possible this propaganda. And also, we should this kind of Srila Prabhupada may also what to say? I'm missing the word. He had his scientists, his scientist disciples, which were meant to make some proof that, look, okay, you want to speak science? Okay, we speak in science terms. We know from Shastra that this evolutionism is fake. So we will just come and prove this to you in scientific world. So this, it's very nice to see, for example, for me that after Srila Prabhupada, he didn't have any scientific information. And he just called it a bluff immediately. He said, okay, this is fake. No scientific background, nothing, you know. He was just, okay, Krishna says it's fake, it's fake. So after so many years, so many information, more and more information come, and the more they come, they just confirm what we already heard from the Shastra. Now they are making studies on reincarnation. There's Professor Ryan Stevenson who documented 3,000 of cases of children who remember their past lives. Yeah, so these are just confirming real science. They're just confirming. Well, okay. Actually, it's true. They are just scratching the surface, and whatever they discover, it just matches what the Vedic version is saying. So, yeah, but we should also protect ourselves, not to associate them. Yeah, I mean, if you're a scientist and you have this service, you can do it to go into the scientist world and accept these controversies. If you're not, maybe it's better to avoid. I don't know.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's a kind of anecdote, but it's true. When Srila Prabhupada was having massage, and devotee's name was Purushottam Prabhu, and there was a famous moon landing on the TV. Yeah. You know that story, right? Yeah. And he was so excited, and look, Prabhupada, look, they're on the moon, this and that. And, you know, Prabhupada didn't really pay much attention, and of course he knew. And then he sent him, you know, go there and help Mataji in the kitchen, you know, there. And he went to the kitchen, and there was some accident with the gas, and boom! And he came back, he was all black. And Prabhupada would say, oh? Purushottam came from the moon? So it's like jokingly, you know, like. And then, I would say unfortunately he left because he lost the faith. And then Prabhupada, I think if I'm correct, would comment like, I understand he wouldn't, he can, maybe he wouldn't believe me, but why he wouldn't believe Shastra, you know, like saying that, giving stress to that, you know, okay, maybe I'm wrong, but why you don't believe Shastra? The Shastra says like this, you know, it's like ultimate argument. And from my personal devotional story, in the beginning when I joined, I had a little bit hard times with, you know, too far out stories, for example, and then Lord Varahadeva appeared from the nostril, Lord Brahma, and he increased, and the, you know, he went through the whole, he reached through the whole universe, and this and that. And I was like, well, you know, I can digest Bhagavad Gita, but this story from Bhagavad Gita, well, you know, and guess what? Very soon, Dutta Karma Prabhu came, and with his forbidden ecology and everything, and it sweetened my heart, because I kind of, before I was full of this so-called scientific proof of this, scientific proof of that, and now you have it, you know, the scientific proof, with the scientific proof. It's like Prabhupada would say, this is a technique, like how do you defeat a Buddhist, because modern science is more or less Buddhist philosophy. You know, like ultimately it's all zero, it's coming from nothing, or this and that. Very close. So I take your mortar. This is a mortar, is like a tool for grinding the spices. If you know in India how they do it, they have a piece of half hollow container, and then you take this mortar, which is like a stick, which is, and you crash, you put, let's say, grains of spice inside, and you crash it, like, you know, like you make spice with this mortar. So Prabhupada said, I use, like, I take, like how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhists, by using their philosophy and pointing out the flaws in their own philosophy with their own philosophy. So Prabhupada would say, I take your mortar and I crush your teeth with your mortar. So it's like, it's your argument, it's your science, I study your philosophy, and then I point out the flaws in your philosophy with your philosophy. So it's like, that's when you'd have to defeat somebody who doesn't have faith in Shastra. So, and that's exactly what, let's say, Dutta Karma Prabhu and who's the other one? Unfortunately passed away. Richard Thompson, the Sariputta Prabhu, yeah. That, what they are doing, and and the Prabhupada wanted also Bhaktivedanta Institute to be established for this purpose, and to find the same truth which you read in Bhagavatam and to point it to the world. So to do this research. So there's still a lot of things to be done. And according to the words of Hanumat Preshak Swami Maharaj, you know him, right? Hanumat Preshak Swami Maharaj. He's also preaching to the scientists. And he said, you know, it's like not so much use, but the break, when there's a break, when they serve prasadam,